week too. Okay, let's begin. The recorder started, so we might as well begin. I'm going to do a little bit of a different kind of a shiur today. A little bit more hashkafa, but alam the shiur hashkafa shiur. A very important topic. And that has to do with what is the appropriate reaction, what our shiur attitude be to, when we hear about or learn about the death of our enemies. The truth is that I first looked into this topic and said shiur on it, I think it was like 7 years ago, when Yasser Arafat, Yimach Shemo, died, and spoke about it then, and have given it some more thought, a little bit more research over the years since then, and it's really a very fascinating topic, and perhaps the most well-known, although as we'll see, it's much more complicated than that, but the most well-known source, probably to all of you on the topic before we start this year, is actually a medrash that's based on our parsha, or Gemara, I should say, that's based on our parsha. The pasuk, as the Jewish people are trapped between the Yam Suf and the Mitzrayim, as they've been sent out, and they're on the way, hopefully, to freedom, and they're trapped. The Yam Suf in front of them, the Mitzrayim behind them. So the Torah tells us in Perek Yedaled, pasuk Chaf, Lo Karav Ze'el Ze'el Kol Halayla. So the simple pshat in the pasuk is that the Egyptians were, you know, not able to attack them, were not close to them all night. The two camps, were not close to one another. However, the Gemara, both in Masechta Megillah, and here you have the parallel Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, has a very tremendous drush of this Gemara, of this pasuk. And the context of the drush in its relation to our parsha is a larger topic, and that is started off in the Gemara by Rav Acha bar Chanina, based on the pasuk in Mishlei, which we're going to come back to, Ba'avod Rishayim Rina, that there should be celebration, there should be song by the destruction or the death of Rishayim. And the Gemara assumes that this is the case, but then the Gemara asks a question, Umichadi kuchabrichu b'mapalason shal Rishayim, is it really true that Hashem is happy? And then the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim, that seems to say it's not the fact, the case, that Hashem is not happy when Rishayim die, and to support that proof from Divrei Hayamim, then the Gemara says very famously in the underlying section, to Amar Rab Shmuel Bar Nachman, Amar Rab Yonasan, my dichsiv, the pasuk from our parsha, lo karav zel zel kol halayla, ba'os hashah, big shum alachei asharis lamar shira lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the Malachim saw the downfall of the Egyptians and the freedom of the Jewish people, so the Malachim wanted to sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, praising him for this wonderful occurrence. Amar Lama HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem said to the angels, Masa Yodai Tovin Bayam Ba'atim Omrim Shira Lafanai, my own creatures, my handiwork, the Egyptians, also Bnei Elukim, they also died, and now you think it's appropriate to be celebrating? So you see, some of the Gemara, that apparently we're not supposed to celebrate. The Gemara concludes with a little bit of an enigmatic statement, which we'll try to get back to. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, how do we resolve these conflicting sources? Hu eino sos aval acherim masis. He is not going to celebrate, but others can. Now, the angels are, l'chora, not the same as the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So either you have to say that the angels are angelic, they're in the spheres in the heavens, and they're included in the who, or perhaps because they were trying to be Mesameach Hashem, that was inappropriate. But if they would have been celebrating for themselves, I'm not sure. We'll see. You know, in the Aruch Haner, if I'm not mistaken, tries to resolve the contradiction of the Gemara, but the conclusion of the Gemara. But leave that aside for a moment. It's a little bit enigmatic. But what's most well known, probably to all of you, before I started this year, was that famous drasha that they wanted to sing Shira on the night of Kriyas Yamsuf. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, it's inappropriate. Ma'ase yadai tovim bayam. Now the context that probably all of you have heard this from is the halachic context. What's the halachic nafkamina of this Gemara? You know it. You're just being modest. So don't be so modest. Exactly, right? We all know about this from saying Hallel on the last days, and Chol Moed included, of Pesach. The truth is that there's no Gemara that makes that connection. There is a very esoteric medrash known as the Medrash Harninu. I've never seen a Medrash Harninu. In fact, I don't know anyone who's ever seen a Medrash Harninu. Or I guess I should qualify, since I know some pretty learned people. I've never spoken to anyone who told me that they've seen a Medrash Harninu. However, this medrash is quoted by some Rishonim, like the Shmuel Aleket, who is somewhat obscure. But the reason that everybody knows it is not because it's in the Medrash, not because it's in the Shmuel Aleket, but because the Beis Yosef quotes the Shmuel Aleket. But since I'm with some real budding scholars, so I give you, not the Medrash Arninu, because I wouldn't know where or how to find it, but at least one step removed, I give you the Shmuel Aleket. Since the Shmuel Aleket number two, quoting this Medrash Arninu, why is it? B'chein ata motzei kol zayin me'achag anugor mesahala of Pesach ein anugor mesahala el yom rishon v'layla lama. Sukkis, which is always like the twin, we spoke about a little bit last week, of the sukkah kol shiva and matzah kol shiva. So the sukkah, halal of sukkis is always like the twin of Pesach. And sukkis, we say halal the whole yontif, not just the first day. And yet on Pesach, everyone knows we only say halal on the first day. So what's going on? So the Medrash answers, Shmuel ben Abba Omar, ben Falevecha al Tismach, lefi shenit b'ubo ha-mitzriyim. It's another pasuk, which we'll get to from Mishlei, ben Falevecha al Tismach, you shouldn't be happy when your enemies are in the fall, if they're fallen, they're destroyed, and as a result, Ma'aseyadai tovim b'yam, we even have the same shoresh of shenitvu, the Egyptians are drowning, it's not appropriate time to have full shira. So we know, this is just a little pre-Pesach Torah, this is before Rabbi Reish's, you know, Haggadah. Does he still do that, Rabbi Reish? His Haggadah marathon where he speaks like 5 hours for 100 different Torah on the Haggadah?
Recorder.
So recorders, now he doesn't have to come, he just brings the recorder, okay. So a little pre-Pesach Torah, but this is beyond that. This is more basic even, just to keep in mind. I think it's very basic, but I think that not everyone thinks about it, and therefore knows about it, which is that the holiday of Pesach celebrates two totally different historical events. The first days of Pesach separate going out of Egypt. The last days of Pesach celebrate Kriyas Yamsuf. Right? The Shvi'i Shel Pesach is anniversary of Kriyas Yamsuf. The first day of Pesach is the anniversary of the Jewish people went out of Egypt. So says the Shmuel Aleket, we say Halal on the first day, because no, we went out, what's that got to do with them? But the Shvi'i Shel Pesach, we're not going to say a full Halal, because after all, what happened? It wasn't just us who got saved, but it's all those Egyptians, poor Egyptians who got killed. And in fact, it's not just a nice drush or agadata, the Shachar Aruch Paskins, Halacha Lamaisa, Simon Tov Tzadik, Kal Yomim Shal Chol HaMoed, Mishnah Yom Ma'achroyim Shal Yom Tov, of course talking about Chutz Laaretz, so there's 2 days of Yom Tov, Kor Mishal Bedilug, Kor Shchodesh, or what we call Half Halel. The Taz, again, the Shachar Aruch doesn't say why. The Shachar Aruch just states as a fact. But the Taz explains, it's based on a Ma'aril. Mepnei b'zayin shel Pesach didbu ha-mitzriyim. Again, the Egyptians were drowned, poor Egyptians. Amar kadosh baruch hu ma'aseyodai tovim b'yam. My creatures are drowning. V'atem amrim shira. Rhetorically, how could you sing? Now, what's the obvious question? Just simple halachic math. We don't say full halal on Shvi'i shel Pesach. Ma'aseyodai tovim b'yam. But what are we missing? No, the first day, nothing happened to anybody. We just went out. Nothing happened to them bad on that day. We went out. So that's the first day, full halal. The last day, half halal. What are we leaving out? It's right in front of your noses. Chol HaMoed! Chol HaMoed, we also say half halal. But they didn't, right? Chol HaMoed, we're, as they would say, my Bobby would say in Yiddish, they're vulgaring around. They're wandering around the desert. So why can't we say full halal on Chol HaMoed? Shvi'i Shel Pesach, we should switch to half halal. So there, the Taz quotes from the Ma'aril, an interesting answer in its own right. He says, the Kevan Sheba Zayin on the seventh day, Ein Gomer Mosor, we're not going to finish Hallel because of this aforementioned reason, Al Kain Gam B'chol HaMoed Ein Gomer Mosor, Shlehi Odef Miyantav Achron. It's like not mekavedik, it's not nice to the Yantif, which is supposed to be on a higher level, to, day after day after day, we're saying full Hallel, comes Yantif, the seventh day of Yom Tov, half halal, is not so nice. So we cushion the blow, so it shouldn't look so bad for Shvi'i Shel Pesach, and already on Chol HaMoed. But the truth is, there's no real reason to say half halal on Chol HaMoed, according to this Gemara, according to the Taz, based on this Medrash. It's only agav, because of the seventh day, we don't want it to feel bad, so we already push back the half halal to the middle of the Yom Tov to Chol HaMoed. But fundamentally, we have this phenomenon, namely, the Gemara about the Malachim, and then we have the Medrash, which takes the Chazal and applies it in a very practical way. it's not just this nice idea or something happening in Shemayim as a nafkamina for what's going on this world. Namely, just like the Malachim couldn't say Shira for Kriyas Yamsuf, so too we are not going to say a full Hallel on the anniversary of Kriyas Yamsuf, again, because we feel bad for those poor Egyptians who are Nitbu'u B'yam. Yeah. Oh, it's Yashir.
Right, so
it's interesting. There's a similar phenomenon of not saying Hallel. In fact, maybe you remember the first shir I gave on Simcha of Rosh Hashanah. So there's a Gemara which we saw there about not saying Hallel on Rosh Hashanah because it's inappropriate. And there, I don't think I mentioned it in the shir, but just I'll mention it now since you're asking. The Brisker Rav is quoted by Rosh Pesach Frank in the Mikra and Kodesh. And he said, well, why? The Gemara says we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. But we say Shir Shalyom, and we say Az Yashir. There are other songs that we sing, even though the Gemara uses this term Shira. So the answer, I don't know how to weigh the calculus here, but what Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank said, and it seems to be obvious here too, is that there's different levels of Shira. Apparently Hallel is like the most full-blown. Az Yashir or Shir Shalyom are things which are a little bit more. But the bottom line is, I will grant you that things are a little bit more complicated than we've seen until now, and that'll be the whole second half of the shir. But I'm not going to get back to the judge here, but you're right to notice that there may be some tension. But so far, we've seen very consistent sources, which, for lack of a better term, I would say would be expressing our liberal impulse, that even though the Egyptians were very mean to us, but still we feel bad for the poor Egyptians, and the angels were given a lesson about that, and even in Lamaisa, we're not going to say full Hallel because of the poor Egyptians. One of the most famous sources that takes up this whole hashkafa, this whole mentality, this whole attitude of being very forbearing and very generous, if you will, in spirit to our enemies, Nebuchadnezzar, poor enemies, one of the most famous sources is much more recent. It's a Mesha Chachma on our Parsha. And the Mesha Chachma is actually not talking about this Medrash. And the Mesha Chachma is actually not talking about the Mitzrayim dying, per se. But or at least that's not what inspires, I should say, the Mesha Chachma. What inspires the Mesha Chachma is the following. He's commenting. You'll notice, for example, just take a look. The pasuk of Lo Karzel Zeh, which we started with, is which? In which parak? Parak Yedal. Now that's before Kriyas Yamsuf. That's the night before, right? If you look at the Dibra Maslo, I have the Mesha Chachma. He's commenting on a pasuk in Parak Yedbeis. So clearly, there has not yet been Kriyas Yamsuf. What is in Parak Yedbeis pasuk Tazayin? The Torah already tells us about Shvi Shel Pesach. The Torah already tells us that it's going to be a holiday in the future, commemorating you going out of Egypt. There's going to be Yom Rishon Mikra Kodesh, and also a Shvi, which will be Mikra Kodesh. And the Mesha Chachma is bothered, and it's hard to believe that no one was bothered before him, but the Mesha Chachma is bothered by what would seem to be a very obvious, difficult question. How could the Torah command us on the mitzvah of Shvi Shel Pesach, when we know what is Shvi Shel Pesach really commemorating? It's the anniversary, the Bo Bayom, it's the anniversary of Kriyas Yamsuf. And yet the Torah introduces the holiday of Shvi Shel Pesach before there ever was a historical Kriyas Yamsuf. How could that be? So that's the context. That's what's bothering Mesha Chachma. But as a result of his question, he gives the following answer. Ladati, Had Amar Lehem, Ata Dabar Shaldoros. Now, even before the event has happened, Hashem is giving a command that's going to last generations of a Shvi Shel Pesach. Why did it do it? The fancy English word is anachronistically. That means out of order, not in historical order. It's anachronistic. Why? Lahoros shleimus mitzvos of Yisbarach. It shows the beauty, the perfection of Hashem's Torah and mitzvos. Kiko amim b'dasal sehen hanimusios yasu yom hanitzachon yom apos oivim l'chug chag hanitzachon. All other religions and cultures, when they have a great military victory, they turn the victory and the defeat of their enemies into an anniversary, into a reason of celebration. And the Dagesha, the emphasis is on Mapolas Oivehem. They destroyed their enemies, let's have a party. Lo kein be Yisrael, says the Mesha Chachma. We do not celebrate Mapolas and Shal Oivehem, the defeat of our enemies. Why? Hema lo yismuchu al Mapolas Oivehem, lo yichogu b'simchaza. We do not celebrate the downfall of our enemies. After all, the Pasuk in Mishlei says, the same Pasuk which we saw before, Bindiful Aivecha Al Tismach. We don't celebrate the downfall of our enemies. Harei de Adam Hamale Eino Sameach Bindiful Aivo. A elevated, stark, Wonderful. Heilig, a person does not celebrate the downfall of his enemies. L'chein lo nizkar b'Pesach. That's why he does not say about the holiday of Pesach. Quote, this is a fictional quote. It does not say, Chag HaMatzos ki bo asa b'mitzriim shefatim. Now we know that's what we say that in the Haggadah. We don't have a pasuk that says we celebrate Pesach because the Egyptians were tormented or destroyed. Rather, what do we say? Why do we have a holiday of Pesach? Ki yotzi Hashem es b'nei Yisrael mi'Mitzrayim. What's the dagesh? What do we focus on? Not the bad that happened to them, but the good that happened to us. So he's making a subtle but important chiluk. Says the Meshech Chachma, why did the Torah, he's going to get back to this at the end, but I'll just tell it to you now. Why did the Torah tell me the holiday of Shvi'i Shel Pesach even before Kriyas Yamsuf ever occurred? To give you this subtle message. You shouldn't think, if all of a sudden he says, you would hear Kriyas Yamsuf, the Egyptians are all drowning, and then we say, holiday! You might have thought, we're like everybody else. We have a holiday on the downfall of the destruction of our enemies. So come the Torah to tell us, there's going to be a holiday called Shvi'i Shel Pesach even before you know why. And by doing that, says the Meshech Chachma, in a subtle way, the Torah is separating the celebration from the historical cause. Now, it's not that there's no connection. Of course there's a connection. But what it's trying to do is make sure that you understand that we're celebrating for us, not for them. We're celebrating for something positive, that we went free. That we celebrate. We don't celebrate, even though it happens simultaneously. But the question is, what's the emphasis? We don't celebrate on their downfall. We celebrate our freedom. Now, I'm not convinced that this is the right pshat necessarily in that. Although I think he has a very good question. As an answer to the question, I'm not sure it's the right answer. But as a hashkafa, as a worldview, as a philosophy, this is not a chiddush at all, the Meshech Chachma. We know this is very consistent with the earlier Makaros that we saw. And in fact, the Meshech Chachma goes further and he applies it to the both rabbinic holidays, which also involve defeats of enemies in one form or another. Chanukah and Purim. So for example, he says, Chanukah, you know, it's a big discussion you probably had shirim on it. You know, what's the real holiday about? Is it the Nes Pach Shemen? Or the Melchama? Right? So the Meshech Chachma goes, I don't know if you heard something, maybe you had a Rebbe who quoted this Meshech Chachma on Chanukah. It's a very important Meshech Chachma. He says he's an all Pach Shemen guy. The Gemara doesn't mention the Melchama, the Gemara talks about the Pach Shemen. Why, says Meshech Chachma? Because we're not militaristic people. Yes, we defeated the Greeks, but that's not the Dagesh. We don't celebrate that. We celebrate our freedom and Hashem's kindness to us with the Pach Shemen. Purim, he says, for example. Also, what about Purim? Lo asu yom tov b'yom shenit lo haman. Right, what was the real victory for us? When all of a sudden Ahasuerus said, hang Haman, and everything turned. When do we celebrate? Not then, not even during the victory, during the battle. We celebrate the next day. What's the pasuk? Asher nacha, when we rested. Now that's I think a very doctristic achiluk. But as we rested because we had killed everybody. But his point was, we're not celebrating the killing. We're celebrating the fact that we don't have to kill anymore, so that we can rest and we can go back to our normal life. Again, we're celebrating our freedom, not their destruction. So Ad Kan is one whole approach, one whole base medrash, one whole school of thought, starting from the medrash, starting from the Gemara, starting from the Pasuk and our Parsha, that has this very forbearing and almost, you could say, even forgiving, tolerant, benevolent attitude to the downfall of our enemies. However, as was perhaps already mentioned, in fact, it's not so pashut. Even in the Hilchos Pesach Makoros, it's not so pashut. Because even though the Taz quotes that the reason we say half Hallel on Chol HaMoed, on the last day of Pesach, is because of this very tolerant idea, this Medrash, in fact, there's a whole other school of thought, Bechlal, which sees no connection between the two. And that's what one could say, Lo Karav Zalzeh, no connection. Take a look at the Gemara in number 3. The Gemara in Erchin, which is the locus classicus, the classic place in all of Shas, discusses which days you do or don't say full Hallel, not Hallel, on. This is the Gemara in Erchin, Daf Yud, Yerim Abayz. The Gemara itself asks the question already, the same question that the Medrash Harninu, whatever that is, asked. The Gemara asks the question, why the difference between Sukkot and Pesach? And the Medrash Harninu is much more interesting. It gives a whole answer with Egyptians and drowning and angels. Says the Gemara, which is, let's be honest, a much more authoritative source. The Gemara gives a much more simple, down-to-earth, and less exciting, but very important answer. Says the Gemara, the Chag, Chalukin b'Karbon Oseihen. Pesach, ain Chalukin b'Karbon Oseihen. We know what's so unique about Sukkot. Every day is another new karban, right? That's why at the end we have 70 karbanos, connect Shiva Pariachag, connect the 70 nations. There's not a new karban, a new Kedusha Sayom, a new karban for every day of Chol Hamoed. There's one on the first day of Yom Tov Pesach, or on the last day of Pesach. The only thing that's different than that, that's typical. The only Yom Tov that's different, there's new karbanos every day, is Sukkot. So because it's Chalukin B'Karban HaSein, each day gets its own new karban, that highlights that each day of Sukkot, including Chol Hamoed, including the second days, is its own unique new holiday. So you say Hallel, a full Hallel every day. But when it comes to Pesach, says the Gemara, only one special karban at the beginning of the holiday. Everything else is just a continuation of that. It's fundamentally one Kedushas Hayom, and therefore the main Hallel is on the first day, and because it's a little less Simcha, a little less Kedusha after that, so we're only going to say half Hallel. And in fact, comes along the Marsha on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is the Gemara that we started with. And the Marsha says, whoa, how do we relate the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is all about the angels and poor Egyptians, Im came b'yom zayin shal Pesach af shemalachei asharis enom shira kainu halel b'kolshkin ein yisrael omrim halel v'lam li hasam tam de Pesach echoluk b'karbonosav. Why is the Gemara in Erchin giving this answer of karbonos? Who needs it? We have the whole Egyptian thing. Says the Marsha, Yesh lomar de davka b'oso yom zayin shal Pesach shenitbu lo amru malachei asharis shira. Says the Marsha, an unbelievable answer. Says the answer of not singing, that's only true that night. Hashem says to the angels, don't sing now, my creatures are drowning. But if that would have been the only reason, says the Marsha, we see from the Gemara Erchin, that means that the next year, the angels and us in Shul would have said a full Hallel Shvi Shal Pesach. The reason to say Ma'aseh Yadai Tovim V'Yam is only in the moment. When Mamish, when your enemy is choking on his own blood, when he's drowning, in this case in the sea, Mamish is dying at this moment, or he just died a second ago, whatever. So that's already, it's a little bit too crass to be, in a certain sense, if you will, spitting on the grave, dancing and singing while he just died. But a year later, when you've had more chance to reflect, and 100 years later, and 500 years later, then no one's in pain at this moment. It's the anniversary of it. And therefore, says the Marsha, it would have been just for that reason, I would have said, okay, not at the Shas, at the moment that they're dying, but everything after that, every year after that, then I should. That's the real reason. That, and that lasts not just this year, but every, if you want to lamaisa, halacha lamaisa, why are we not going to say a full Hallel this year on Chol Hamoed, second days of Pesach? The answer has got nothing to do with Ma'aseh Yadai Tovim V'Yam, says the Marsha. As Yisrael Limor Erchin, that's the real reason. Alright, there's this Medrash? Okay, there's a Medrash, but that's not the real halacha reason. Yeah.
According to the Gemara, why do you not have a full Hallel on the first day of Chol Hamoed?
Why should we? It's different. But say that the idea, the unique special Yontif carbon is only on the first day of Yontif, not a Chol Hamoed.
It's keeping on the carbon. So, meaning there's special carbon, it's not that it's new?
No, there's a carbon tummy that's 365 days a year. And there's a special Yontif carbon on the first day of Pesach. There's a special Yontif carbon on every day of Sukkot.
Is there a different carbon on the seventh day of Pesach, the first day of Pesach,
so? No, I don't think so, no.
Fine, so it's just the fact that.
Okay? Now, so number one, we see on the whole issue of Hallel, which is like the most well-known thing, you've been taught it since you're like in second grade, that we don't say Hallel on the seventh day of Pesach because of the poor Egyptians. So says the Marsha, the whole thing's a mistake. It's not true. That may be the reason why they didn't say Hallel that night 3,000 years ago. I'm going to turn that off, even though I think it's about inviting me to go to Greece for Pesach. Certain things can wait. There's Torah to learn. Okay. But if I lost a gig, I'm bunking with you guys. Okay. And I expect 3 meals a day and a tea room open 24/7. Okay. So first of all, the biggest issue, the Hallel issue. So you already see, it's not so pushy. Makoros that say, oh, it would be very nice, for a bearing. The more erech and the marsha says, what are you talking about? Second of all, this pasuk of Karav Zal Zakon Alayla, and the Gemara turns it into this whole sympathy for the Egyptians. Look at the Shmos Rabbah in our parsha, turning over the page. The Shmos Rabbah has a completely, mamish, a completely 180 degrees different approach to that Gemara, to that pasuk. Says the Medrash Darshaning the very same pasuk. Oh, Rabbi Yochanan, Big Shem Alachim Lomer Shira Lefanai. Lefnei, excuse me, Lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ba'osa Alayla, sounds similar. The same night that they Sha'avru Es Yisrael said Yam V'lo Hinicha L'Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem said no, no Halal tonight, no Shira. But look how what the Medrash says. Amar L'Kadosh Baruch Hu, L'Gionosai, my legions, my warriors, my beloved Jewish people, Nesunim B'Tzara, they're in trouble. V'Atim Amrim L'Fanai Shira, Hadahu D'Chsiv L'Kar Zol Zakal Laila. Who was Hashem worried about when He said to Malachim, don't sing Shira? According to the Medrash Rabbah, it was the Jewish people. Now, clearly there's a difference in chronology by about, I don't know, maybe an hour or whatever, I don't know. In other words, according to the Gemara, when the Egyptians wanted to say Shira, they already had Vinikriyas Yam Suf, the Egyptians were dead, or in the process of dying a horrible death. So then the Gemara says, Hashem said, no, you can't do it, poor Egyptians. The Medrash Rabbah also has the Malachim wanting to say Shira. Hashem said, no, you can't. But not because Egyptians, poor Egyptians, are dying, but because Legionosai Nesunim Betzara, my favorite, my wonderful, my legions, my heroes, the Jewish people, they're in danger. Now's not a time to sing. Unbelievable. Now, exactly when this was all happening, I don't know. But the bottom line is, it's a completely different emphasis. Instead of being this very, you know, universalistic, we care about everybody, this is incredibly parochial. Who do we care about? We're looking out for number one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is worried about the Jewish people. That's not worried about the Egyptians. Now again, there's not necessarily a stira to that. I mean, it's a stira in the Makor. The little Karav Zal Zeh, is that a Makor or not, that Medrash? But the bottom line is, in theory, you could say that we, in general, we should have such an attitude. But the Medrash is basically pulling the rug out from under this whole basic idea of the Halal, the Medrash Haninu, all based on the fact that Hashem said, don't say Halal, my poor Egyptians are drowning. So the Shemesh Rabbah said, what do you do with that? It's got to do with the Jewish people. They were in trouble. Not a time to sing. Yeah.
They did sing.
Who's they? So what's the chelk between the people and the angels that we didn't get to yet? But this is the angels. The angels, yeah.
So that would be what the Malachim were singing about. So Hashem saying, don't sing because they're in danger. Too bad. So did Hashem know that they were going to get...
Of course he did, but that was not the right time.
So instead of saying they're in danger, why didn't Hashem just think... change that and make it the right time and say that and then
Hashem should change around his chronology for the angels?
I can't change around the chronology, but it's a little bit like it's Hashem the angel, like nobody on this world, so like what's the difference if they're sitting here now?
Listen, I don't know how to I can't analyze so much the back and forth between gods and angels, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean, like it's just a little much. I'm saying I there's a limit to what I, you know. Okay, maybe Rabbi Nussbacher or somebody knows everything. I don't. I don't know what to tell you. My point is just to show you that we see in Chazal some very different impulses. Not all of the Makoros are so straightforward in this very, you know, as they say, generous and forbearing attitude. Other Makoros take the same exact storylines with a different focus. I'll give you another example. What's the other thing? This is like a classic theme of the Seder, right? We have the half halal, all yantif. We also have, what do we do with the Seder, which is shows how much we care about the poor Egyptians? Everybody knows, since you're in first grade, you did a model Seder. Maybe in kindergarten already did a model Seder. What do we do with the Seder that shows how much we love the poor Egyptians? Are you guys Jewish? Dip a wine. I know some people are very fancy. Chas v'shalom, they shouldn't put their finger in the wine. So I know some families when they take a little spoon aleph, not even a spoon, it's a spoon aleph, and they put the spoon in. In England, do they do that? You use the fingers? Really?
Wow.
You read us Hadoros. Okay, anyway. Well, I know the people I'm thinking of were from Manhattan, but I would have thought that in England, too. Anyway. So I don't know a Makor for that. If you could find from Rabbi Reich, from someone's Haggadah handbook, if you could ever get me a Makor for that, I would be happy to know it. I got taught the same thing my whole life. I'd be very curious. But there is a Sefer, which I did not have in Israel with me, so I could put it on your source sheet. There's a three-volume work by a contemporary Talmud Chacham. It's called HaSeder HaAruch. Basically, it doesn't just mean the Seder went till 2 a.m. It's everything you ever wanted to know about the Seder. Three volumes, fat, each one, about the Seder. So he has a chapter on this topic. The minhagim and the wine and dipping. And he quotes somebody who I don't remember. It was Chassid Yosef, I don't remember. Who says, you know why we dip our finger to take out the wine? When we say, you know, each of the makos, damas, fardei, akinim? A different reason. It's based on a Gemara in the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is talking about the broader question, well, why do we have four cups? So if I ask you, why do we have four cups of wine, you tell me, Harba Lashonos of Gula. So the Yerushalmi has a number of opinions. But one of the opinions of the Yerushalmi is very different. Look at the Yerushalmi, it says, Rabbi Levi Amar, Keneged Arba Kosos Shel Peronos, Shakarish Baruch Hu Asid Lahashkos L'Umas Olam. It's Keneged, the four cups of wrath, and doom, and destruction, that Hashem is going to pour out on the Egyptians and the other historic tormentors of the Jewish people. So first of all, Rabbi Levi is interesting in his own right. Not so forgiving when it comes to those enemies, are we now? It's not the grapes of wrath, it's the cups of wrath. But number two is that I saw in the Seder Aruch, he quoted some Sefer who said, you know why we dip? This is awesome. Get ready for this, guys. This you don't want to forget. When you dip, why are we dipping? Based on this Yerushalmi? As if to say, Dom, Tzvardeya. You thought Dom was bad? You thought Tzvardeya was bad? It's like a tipa shavayam. It's like a drop in the bucket compared to what you're going to get when Hashem really has the time to deal with you. Dom was nothing. Tzvardeya, Makas Bacharos is nothing. It's just a drop compared to what you deserve and to what you really are going to get one day. So instead of looking at the drops as, oh, the poor Egyptians, it's mamish, the opposite. It's 180 degrees. Just like we saw different approaches about the Medrash, where the angels rebuffed, because we care about the Egyptians, or we care about the Jews. So also with the dipping, we have Makaros to say, oh, we care, we're very forbearing and forgiving, and other Makaros that seem to be very, very, very different. Yeah. Okay, that's a fair point. I mentioned Yerushalmi again specifically because of the dipping. But again, I think the point is that you see it has to do with an attitude or an impulse. Are we either happy about? And I guess you could say maybe from Michalik, maybe. But if anything, I think this would be more controversial, not less. But are we happy, or are we looking forward to the destruction of our enemies, or are we have a different attitude? And I guess, of course, the last thing to mention on this Nakuda is, what do we say right when we open the door for Eliyahu Navi? Welcome, Eliyahu. Now, Shvachem Osal Goyim. And you should know, if I'm not mistaken, in some Reform Haggadahs years and years ago, they took it out already. They took out Shvachem Osal from the Haggadah. Because it's not so tolerant, and it's not so politically correct. Shvachem Osal Goyim, that's not nice. What good liberalized Jew says that? The answer is they don't. But we, of course, it's in our historic Haggadahs. Now, this conflicting makaros, these different ideas when it comes to Hallel and the Pasuk in our Parsha and the Medrash and the Gemara and now the Seder, there's a broader discussion. In general, nothing to do with our Parsha or Pesach, you have conflicting makaros as well. For example, we already saw, and I reproduced them for you, but we already saw in other makaros citations of different psukim in Mishlei. In two different psukim in Mishlei, you have the exact opposite. It's like a stira in Mishlei. On the one hand, the Pasuk says, "Binifalei vecha al tisma," don't rejoice. And yet, there's a pasuk as well, 11, 12 prakim earlier, Ba'avod Rishayim Rina. So which one is it? Sing or don't celebrate? That's one stira. Furthermore, Shmuel HaKatan, in Perek Dalet of Perek Yavos, he was rugil, his mantra was not, you know, Torah Vavoda, Torah Vavoda, his mantra was, V'nefolei Vecha Al Tismach. And yet, the Gemara Brachos tells us, that when they were Chazal were ready to add a 19th bracha to Shmoneh Esrei, which bracha was that? Balamashidim. Now that again, not identical, but again, in terms of an attitude or an impulse, you ever read the translation of what those words mean? I'll say, so yeah, we daven for the destruction, and here is very, very important. Balamashidim probably means fellow Jews. It's a big discussion of Balamashidim. Much of Shmoneh Esrei is shrouded in mystery. Balamashidim in particular, There's huge scholarly literature in various versions. According to some early manuscripts, it really was referring to the Christians. It got censored out. When I was a kid, what we were taught, I could tell you, was that the Mashini was referring to the Jews who are, you know, telling on their fellow Jews to the Goyim. I don't know what the historical correct answer is, but there's somebody out there called our enemy, called the Mashinim, and we're davening, not that they should do tshuva, but we're davening they should be destroyed and be tortured. That we say every day, three times a day. And who is the author of that tefillah, Shmuel of the Mashinim? The same Shmuel HaKotan who in Pirkei Avos says, "Ben Folay Vecha Al Tismach." I can daven for it, but I can't be happy? Seems to be a little bit of a stira. What's going on? Furthermore, the Gemara Brachos, Daf Tesimah Beis, said, "David HaMelech, the first 100+ kapitlach of Tehillim, he was happy, but he wasn't really happy. It was only after his enemies were destroyed and vanquished." We know David had a very challenging life. Only after his enemies were really destroyed and vanquished, only then, concludes the Gemara, was he finally ready to say Hallelujah. The Hallelujahs are not in the beginning of the Tehillim. They're later. I'm going to run because I don't want to get too late, okay? So, here we have conflicting Makaros. So, in number 5, I have a few different resolutions from the Achronim, and one from Rav Kook, which I forgot to put on the sheet until after I emailed it to Rabbi Waxman. So I'll try to tell you Rav Kook Baal Peh. One possible answer you could give, again, not every answer is going to work for every one of the Makaros. Like, for example, what we're about to say from the Gemara Megillah would not work for the Pesach and Yetzias Mitzrayim story. But in theory, if you ask the question, what should our attitude be? We have conflicting Makaros. So is it possible to make a chiluk to somehow resolve it all? So one possible answer is the Gemara Megillah. Where Megillah says that when he was ready for Haman to take Mordechai out, so he says to Mordechai, "Get on the horse, I'll take you." And Mordechai said, "I'm tired from fasting, bend down." And he used the back of Haman like a ladder. And Haman said to him, "How could you do that? Doesn't it say in your Torah, 'Benefolai vecha al tismach'?" Mar Megillah, Daf Tezayin. And Mordechai says to him, "Hani mili bi Yisrael, abedit chuksiv, ata abba mateinu terdoch." In other words, says Mordechai, that applies to Rishayim who are Jews. We shouldn't be happy when a fellow Jew who's a Russia, who's an enemy, but a non-Jew, there we can have less mercy, less tolerance. So one possible chiluk. I'm not saying it would resolve every makor. It doesn't help us for what we started with. We were talking about the Egyptians there when Hashem said, "Ma'aseh tum v'yam." One chiluk one could make, broadly speaking, is between Jew and non-Jew. That's number one. Number two is the Marsha himself. We saw before the Marsha, one Marsha, here's the second Marsha. Oh, one second, what did I do before? Forgive me, when I told you the first Marsha, I said it to you Baal Peh, I combined the two Marshas. Okay, at least I got the same author, right? The first Marsha just made the point that you see the Gemara in Erchin disagrees with the Medrash and works with the Gemara there in Brachos. But the Marsha here makes the point that perhaps we could distinguish between the timing of it. The Marsha says it may be inappropriate to celebrate at the moment that the person is dying, the enemy is dying. But after the fact, when there's no more suffering, so then maybe it's appropriate to celebrate. And in fact, that same idea is quoted by Rav Avadji Yosef. And his tshuva, Rav Avadji Yosef, has one of the most scholarly discussions and tshuvas about the whole question of halal on Yom Ha'atzmaut. And Rav Avadji Yosef has a havamina, maybe we should not say halal on Yom Ha'atzmaut, not because it's not a great miracle of the State of Israel, but because in the War of Independence, so many Arabs died, and even many Jewish soldiers died. So many people dying, Ma'isaya died, Tovim Bayam. What's the difference if it's a yam or it's a howitzer? They were killed. So should we celebrate on a day in which there was so much death and destruction? And he answers that would not be a reason to not say Hallel, based on the Chida. And the Chida also makes that distinction that we just saw from the Marsha. Hanimili be'idna, the Richta, Bosa, Shashin, Idonim, Aval Acher, Shigmar Adin, Vinigla Hanes, Shailom, or Shira. A similar discussion. In the moment, that's too premature. But sometime after the fact, when you're commemorating a miracle, so then you could say Shira. That's similar to what the Marsha said. The Aruch Lener has an interesting idea. The Aruch Lener is bothered by the following question. And now the Aruch Lener gets back to, if you remember, at the end of our Gemara, it had said that Hashem is not happy, but other people could be happy. So how does that relate to the earlier part of the Gemara? So says the Aruch Lener, what's bothering the Gemara? Or what's the question one could ask? If Hashem feels it's not appropriate to celebrate, So shouldn't we imitate Hashem? Don't we always try to imitate our midos after Hashem? Mahu, rachum, afatar rachum. So here, if we're saying that Hashem's not going to celebrate because of Maisa Yadai Tov Miyam, but we also shouldn't celebrate. So that's what the Gemara concluded, and that's what the Aruch HaNer says, Al Zem Matarets, Terakulo Sos, Avachere Mesis, and Kemi Rotzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lismoch, In other words, one could distinguish, I think you alluded to this before, there's a distinction between Hashem on his level, so to speak, and the angels apparently are included as angelic figures in Shemayim. But human beings are allowed to be human beings, and maybe Hashem is not going to celebrate. The angels are told not to celebrate. But the people themselves were victims, the people themselves were vulnerable, and a minute before thought they were going to die, they could celebrate. So that's another chilek. Who could celebrate? Maybe the people who themselves were potential victims. But other people who were just third parties, you shouldn't, you know, don't nose, put your nose into someone else's business. If two people had a fight and one person gets saved, so you should say thank you to Hashem. I'm going to say thank you. I'm going to gloat. Not appropriate. Finally, the Tzlach. That's the note of Yehuda's commentary on the Gemara. He quotes a Zohar in Parshas Noach. Luckily for us, he paraphrases it afterwards. And basically what the Zohar says, if the Noda Yehuda understood it correctly, because I still don't understand the Zohar, the Noda Yehuda says, the Zohar says, is it depends if the person was totally wicked or not. We only celebrate the death of someone who is absolutely 100% Kolkulo, not made in China, but Russia. 100% Russia. Someone who's even 95%, 98%, that we don't celebrate. And I, what happened with the Egyptians, weren't they pretty wicked? Says they were, but they were not 100% wicked. After all, we know why did Hashem take us out when he did? Not because, and why did they get all their punishments when they did? Not because they didn't, because we needed it. So Hashem jumped the gun, was premature saving us. Not that they were tzaddikim, they weren't. But they had not, we were about to get to our lowest level. The Egyptians had not yet. Therefore the Egyptians, not that we shouldn't have killed them, but to the point that we can even celebrate their death, that you need 100%, and the Egyptians were not that yet there. Last but not least, Rabbeinu Yonah, in both Mishlei and in Avos, has the following chilek, which even though he doesn't quote it, it's the same idea, Rav Kook has as well. Rav Kook, in his commentary on the Gemara and Brachos, or Shmuel HaKotan, with Vilam Alshinim, Rav Kook's commentary on the Agarta, he only wrote on two Masechtos that we have, Brachos and Shabbos, it's one of the best commentaries, unfortunately we only have it published on two Masechtos, called Ein Ayah. So Rav Kook's commentary on the Gemara was also included. There's also a two-volume commentary of Rav Kook on the Siddur, which is one of the best commentators you'll ever find on the Siddur, called the Olos Re'iyah. And on the Bracha of Olam Hashinim, they have this. I'm just telling you, it was really and originally written on the commentary of the Gemara, and then they cut and pasted into the commentary on the Siddur. But Rav Kook says something to B'miyashi. We said, how could Rav Shmuel HaKatan, who's the one with the banner of B'nefoy Lechal Tismach, and he's the one who's writing, Olam Hashinim, Al Siyutikva, Chalisha Kregasoveid, destroy, no hope, destruction. So he answers that question in light of a yesod that Rabbeinu Yonah has to resolve Psukim in Mishlei. And that is that it depends on how L'shem Shemayim you are. If someone was persecuting you and bothering you, then you find out, you know, that he died. So are you really, really happy because you're not going to be bothered anymore, because you have a certain sense of revenge? It's human, very normal. But that's not a harm to L'shem Shemayim. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Rav Kook expands on the idea, the only person who has a right to celebrate, let alone daven for, the downfall of anyone else, is if you're totally 100% kol kul Hashem Shamayim. Namely, this, the Mitzrayim, or whoever. It's bad, it's a chil Hashem, they're hurting the Jewish people, it's a mockery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can people say this is the chosen nation, or look what someone's doing to them? So it's a terrible thing. See, if for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake, kol Hashem Shamayim, you're happy that the person died, and you have not even a shemetz, not a hint of anything selfish or personal, so then you're allowed to celebrate. And Shmuel HaKotan was that level. It says in the Gemara they waited a year for someone to write Vilam Alshinim. Why? Because says Rav Kook, any other Chacham, I mean not you and me, but any other Chacham of Atana, they could write, you know, Es Tzemach David, they could write Vilam Yerushalayim, they could write Atachonein. But to write Vilam Alshinim needed someone, Dafke Shmuel HaKotan, who had no negiyas whatsoever. His whole life was B'nefolai Vechal Tismach. He had no personal interest whatsoever in anything bad happening to anyone, even his enemies. Dafke him, who's so cool, Hashem Shamayim, he could write Alamashinim. And Rabbi Yonah says the same thing. But if Alaybecha Tismach, that's for normal people. Avodah Hashem Rina, that's if you're on the level where you can be totally ashamed of Shamayim. Okay, Yeshekach, everyone.